Good evening. In this week's Parsha, Parshas Toldos, towards the end of the Parsha, we read that Esav went to the family of Yishmael to marry Machlas Bas Yishmael. And it says in the Pasuk, Parachav Ches, Pasuk Ches, Vayar Esav Kiraos Benos Kanan Bnei Yitzchak Aviv. Esav saw that his father Yitzchak did not approve of the Benos Kanan. So therefore, in the next pasuk, pasuk tes, vayelech Esav el Yishmael, vayikach es machlas bas Yishmael ben Abraham, achlos nevayos al nashav, lo liisha. And so he went and married the daughter of Yishmael, machlas bas Yishmael. And turn to me with quotes from the Rishami in Bikurim, Perakim alocha gimel. The Gemara asks, vayikach es machlas, vichy machlas shma, was her name really machlas? Ala basmas shma, we know that the Torah refers to her as basmas. This language, this change of the name to Machlas, is to hint to us that all his sins were forgiven. From here we learn that a chasan is forgiven for all his sins on the day of his wedding. And the Torah Tumah explains, seems like a strange type of limud. So the Torah Tumah explains that the fact is that the Torah uses a different name here, of Machlas, and it's specifically in this context where Esav was trying to do better. He was trying to be mitaken what he had done earlier, that he married Benos Kanan. And so now when Esav realized that his father didn't approve of the Benos Kanan, and that's why he sent Yaakov elsewhere to find the wife, so Esav tried to do good by his father. And therefore, in this context where Esav is trying to, so to speak, do tshuva, the Torah uses the name Machlas. And this hints to the fact that he was forgiven for his sins. And in general, teaches us that every chasan is forgiven for his sins on the day of the wedding. And the Torah Tumah points out that this is the basis why the chasan kala fast on the day of the wedding. Because it's not enough, it's not just automatic that you get a mechila, but you actually have to do something to merit that mechila. And this notion, this minhag of the chasan kala fasting on the day of the wedding, is actually quoted in Eben Ezer, Simon Samach Aleph. The Ramah there quotes that there's a minhag for the chasan kala to fast on the day of the wedding. And it's interesting that in the Beis Shmuel there, one of the commentaries on the side of the Eben Ezer, so the Beis Shmuel quotes from the Amar Mintz that there are two reasons for this minhag for the chasan kala to fast. One reason is because it's a day of slicha, where their sins will be forgiven. So therefore it's appropriate to fast. And the second reason he quotes is that we don't want them to eat or drink, because maybe they'll drink something which will make them shikr, which will make them mentally not fit, so they won't be able, it might cause a problem for the kinyan, for the marriage. Therefore, they fast. And he points out, the Beis Shmuel points out, that there's a nachmina between these two reasons, that according to the first reason, that they're fasting because it's a Yom Slicha, so then they should finish the entire day of fasting. And they should fast at the end of the day. But according to the reason that they're fasting because we don't want them to drink something which might make them a little shikr, so then it's okay. They don't have to finish the fast. They just have to not eat or drink until they get to the chuppah. But once they come to the chuppah, then it's not a problem. So it would seem that there's enough community between these two reasons, whether or not we would make a wedding earlier in the day or dafka in the evening or at nighttime even. And in fact, cuts both ways. The Piskei Tshuva quotes this, firstly the Be'er Heitav quotes this idea of the Maariv Mintz. And he points out, he quotes from the Knesset HaGedola that first, he says that on the days where we don't fast, right, like Rosh Chodesh, let's say, so then you still have to be careful not to eat or drink these things which might cause problems. And he quotes even from the Knesset HaGedolah that there was a opinion which the Knesset HaGedolah quotes, which says that on the days that we don't fast, then the taka should make the chuppah in the morning, and they should make sure not to eat until the fast, until the chuppah. So in other words, they're not really fasting because they're not going the whole day, but at least until the wedding, they shouldn't eat, and they should make the wedding early in the day, in the morning. That's in terms of the reason that they we worried that they're going to be shikar. On the other hand, you have the Pesachei Tshuva. He quotes on the in the other direction. He quotes an idea that when we say that the chas and kala are fasting, so he quotes from the Be'er Heitev these two reasons, and he says from the Chachmas Hadam that if the chuppah would go a little bit late into the night, like an hour or two after nightfall, so we could rely on the first reason, and they don't have to fast all the way until the chuppah. So in other words, according to the reason that we don't want them to be shikar, so that would mean that even if the chuppah is later at night, and they've been fasting all day, they should continue fasting, even until the night, because you want to make sure that they're not going to be shikar before the chuppah. But he says that no, the Chachmas Hadam says that you don't have to do that. They can rely on the other reason, that the reason that the purpose of the fast is because the avonos are being nimchalu, that the sins are being forgiven, and therefore they don't really have to fast that past seis. Once it's the end of the day, they don't have to fast more than that. So it seems to go both ways. What's also interesting here is that the idea that the fasting is because the sins are being forgiven, so where does it say this? So it would seem like the Torah Tumah points out is based on our Gemara. It's based on the Gemara in Yerushalmim Bikurim. And in fact, the Gra on this halacha of the Ramah, he refers to this Yerushalmim Bikurim. But what's interesting, the Yerushalmim Bikurim there doesn't talk about the Chasan and Kala, it just talks about the Chasan. And the Yerushalmi actually groups together three different individuals, a Chassan, a Nasi, and a Chacham. That these three individuals, a Chacham, when he's this Nane, that he gets a certain type of status, a certain position, so then it's appropriate for him to fast. Then at that time, he has his Avonos are forgiven. And similarly, a Nasi or a Melech, when he's appointed to his position, also his avonos are forgiven. And the Gemara says that a chassan as well, when he a chassan on the day of the wedding, is also his sins are forgiven. And so there seems to be some sort of comparison between these three individuals. And it seems that it's based on the idea that they're all the gedula, that they seem to come to a greater state, a greater status. That's what the Gemara there in Sanhedrin, the Gemara talks about the idea of a Chacham who is a smana, he gets smicha, so then his sins are forgiven. The Gemara there tells a story that there was a certain individual, a certain Chacham, who didn't want to get smicha because he didn't want to be in the limelight, but then he heard of Rabbi Lazar's statement that when a chacham is all a gedula, when he gets a position, when he gets smicha, then his avonos are machaper. So therefore, he was interested to get smicha. So it seems to be this idea that they're trying to be all a gedula. And in the words of the Rishami, it would sound like it's maybe just a chasan. I don't know about the kala. So we could say that the kala also has a certain status. The chasan was a single individual. Now he's a married man, and that maybe gives him a certain type of status. He's ala gedula. The kala also perhaps has an elevated status now that she's a married woman, and therefore maybe it's appropriate that we can extend this same notion to both sides. But on the other hand, if we take the Yerushalmi in the simple reading of the Yerushalmi, it just talks about the chasan. So it could be this could be another nafkamina between the reasons of the Maharamins. And if the reason is that the Kala, if the reason is based on the idea of the Avonos being Mechaper, so it could be that's only by the Chasen, not by the Kala. So maybe the Kala doesn't have to fast. On the other hand, if the reason why they fast is because we don't want them to be shikr, that the kinyan should be appropriate, so then they should both fast, the Chasen and the Kala. And in fact, it's mashma that this is the case, that it's only under these circumstances that the Kala would have to fast, because the Beis Shmuel, after he quotes the second reason, he says that if the father would be Makabal Kedushin for his Bitu Katana, let's say it's a little girl, so if the father is Makabal Kedushin, so then he should have to fast according to the second reason, that the kinyan needs to be appropriate, it needs to be done properly, so they shouldn't be shikr. So then in that case, the father should have to fast. And it's mashma that then in that case, the girl would not fast, right? So again, if the reason is because of the idea of they don't want to be them to be shikr, so then whoever is involved has to fast. So it's the chassan and the kala, if the kala is the one who's going to be mekabel the kedushin for herself. But if the reason is because their avonos are going to be mechaper, so then the Rishami really just talks about the chassan, but it seems like we assume the Maharamins, when he quotes it as one reason, so it sounds like he's extending this Rishami to the Kala as well, and we say that really both of them have their Avonos Mechaper on the day of the wedding. And it could be that there's an idea, if we go a step further, the Gemara in Rishami says that it compares, it learns the Limud for the three individuals, the Chacham, the Nasi, and the Chassan, from three different Psukim. So by the Chassan, we have a pasuk by Esav, that Esav married Machlas Bas Yishmael, the drasha that we started with. But what does it say about the Chacham? By the Chacham, it says that there's a comparison between a Chacham and a Ger. That a Ger, that when a Ger becomes a new member of Klal Yisrael, so then his avonos are all mechaper. And we have an idea by the Nasi, quotes from Yishal, that Shal, the pasuk says, he was like a Ben Shana. So what does it mean, he's a Ben Shana? So the Gemara there says that it means that he was Avonos, that his Avonos were Mechaper, his sins were forgiven, just like a Tinok Ben Shana. Just like a little Tinok. So there seems to be some comparison here, that on one hand we compare the Melech, the Nasi, to a Tinok, and who's obviously pure from sin. And on the other hand, we have the Chacham, who's compared to a Gershon Isgayer, who's also pure from sin. The Gershon Isgayer is also Kekatan Shinola Domi, right? So both of those are like, they're new individuals. So too, in the comparison, if we also have the Chassan, it seems like the Chassan is also the idea of why his Avonos HaMechaper is because he's also like a new individual. So on one hand, we have this idea that it's an idea of being coming up to a great state of Ola Gedula. On the other hand, based on the sources, it seems from the Chassan, from the Chacham and the Nasi, the idea is that they're like new individuals. So too, the Chassan is also like a new individual, and perhaps it would make sense to say that the Kala as well is a new individual. And that's the idea, that the Chassan and Kala, on the day of the wedding, they're starting a new life together, as we say, that really, they're no longer the previous people that they were before, two independent people, but they now come together to form a cohesive whole, and now they're like a new entity. So as a new entity, it's a fresh start, and therefore, the avonos are forgiven. Thank you very much.